Once again, it's on a Wednesday. Stephen E. doing the key of E. Excellence for you and me. Black, bold, beautiful. We're about to tell the truth. Remember, if you're going to call in today, my whole thing is if you're scared, say you're scared. When you get on the phone, just say you ain't scared so we can talk. But if you say you're scared, I ain't going to talk to you. We got a couple of quick things to go through today that's pretty important. We're going to be talking to a friend of mine who's a retired police officer, also retired military, by the way, a young brother. We're going to talk about some recent things to deal with in Indianapolis. And from the national news standpoint of view, I got to do this first. You got to check this out, man. Oh, y'all get over here? Got
to get
up. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. It's okay.
This happens. This is the last thing on my list to do.
Are we done? Yeah. Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh, we're back.
Sorry about that.
You know, yeah, Bernstein.
I didn't want you to hang yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But check this out. Let me tell you something. The Republican Party is they're becoming a joke. I mean, you gotta hear what the comments the National Party said and what Mitch McConnell, you remember Mitch. Mitch is the one that did everything that Donald Trump wanted him to do, play with the Supreme Court a bit. You gotta listen to this. This is interesting. Are you ready? Oh, boy, I'm telling you. I'm so fired up about this one. It just blows me away. I mean, it really does. And I'm fired up also about this whole issue about the Jewish thing and Whoopi Goldberg and stuff. I got a couple things I got to say. So if I piss some people off, hey, that's what I do, okay? But I got to tell my side of the story what I think about it. So you ready for the clip? Oh, he's still loaded. Okay, let me share something with you. Let me share something with you. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, what happened to the Jewish people was obviously just a complete man's inhumanity to man. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to argue that. But here's what really pisses me off about this whole issue. I just looked up some rough figures. I didn't go put them all together today, Bernstein, but 5 million black people lost their lives in the slave trade. Some outrageous figure like 5.7 million people were brought into this country under slavery. And, you know, don't get me wrong, but I want you to understand one thing. I think that that is just as important as an act in our history that we need to make people aware of as well, because obviously we haven't made it aware enough, because you can't say anything negative about the Jewish experience. What Whoopi Goldberg said, I mean, it was a dumb statement. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what I don't understand is how nobody wants to talk about the travesties in this country when in reference to slaves and how many people lost their lives. And that's a guesstimate. We have no idea of knowing how many people lost their lives. So I think, you know, that if we are going to allow the Jewish people to tell their story about the travesties that was created against them, we should be also able to tell the same story, get the same respect, and have the same defensive that they have in reference to anybody saying what they think is anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. I mean, we need to start talking about us, okay? That's number one. Number two, look at the influence that experience has given the Jewish people in America. Nobody wants to admit it, but there were benefits from it. No matter how you look at it, we as black people need to start thinking along the same lines because, number one, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm stuck on stupid, but the truth of the matter is what they did was just as bad. What Germany did was just as bad to the Jewish people because of not only their religious belief, but the color of their skin, obvious. But, you know, it's the same thing here in America, you know, and we're still involving ourselves in the slave trade, so to speak, and it's called the NFL Combine, okay? We'll talk about that a little later, but you got the clip for me?
Yeah.
Make a quick comment about the Jewish situation, Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
It's come to the point now, can't make no comment about Jews or the LBG, whatever all them letters are. It's just like, because what she said, it wasn't that, it could have been misinformation,
dumb.
But it wasn't,
yeah, it was
but it
dumb.
Wasn't, it was dumb, but it wasn't like, it wasn't hurting nobody. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't anti-semantic or whatever how you say the word, all that stuff, you know, it's like.
Well, and I agree with you. But people have to realize that words are very, very strong weapons that we tend to use against each other. But what you're saying is right. On the other token, you know, I mean, death is death. I mean, it's just like we'll get into this conversation in a few. You got my?
I got you.
So play that right quick. She was just going back. I just had to bring it up, and we'll get involved in the conversation as well.
Home now into the attack on the Capitol, and after the Republican National Committee recently said that January 6th was legitimate political discourse. Tonight, what the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said about that today, making it clear it was not legitimate. Rachel Scott on the Hill.
Today, the Senate's top Republican taking aim at the RNC resolution that declared January 6th legitimate political discourse.
It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election from one administration to the next. That's what it was.
McConnell knows full well that that question of whether January 6th...
Listen, that's why I said this is becoming a joke. I mean, really. You know, at first, Ms. McConnell, who was Donald Trump's biggest supporter, had nothing to say about this incident. Nothing. Now, the Republican Party comes out and says, and you know it's got to be the Donald Trump wing of the Republican Party, saying that this was a legal insurrection? Really? Now all of a sudden, Mitch McConnell comes out and says,
my God, America, it's an insurrection.
Dude, you know it was an insurrection from the get-go. I mean, let's be realistic here. I mean, listen, Benedict Arnold didn't do as bad as this. And we let the man take a walk. What the hell is wrong with America? You know what? That's why I say that every time I come on this Air Bernstein, I talk with 10% of my brain. The rest of it's in my pocket because you guys don't get it. It's ridiculous. So I want to bring that attention. And I've got to go back to what the Republican senator say about his voting.
Oh, it said that black people vote as much as Americans.
Like, well, you're not American.
No, they're not American.
Wow.
They're just black people.
Wow. Yeah. But wait a minute. Let me check my watch here because this is really important. And Mike, how much time you got?
I got a minute.
Oh, cool. Listen, I got to make a telephone call right quick, so we're going to take a pause for the cause. I'm going to get this police officer on here so we can have a discussion about that before I get to a really important question. And when you hear what this brother guy says, he's going to blow you away. So give me a pause for the cause. Let me make this telephone call so we can get him on air. And then, okay, what number is it? On Wednesday, but we're gonna kind of change things around because I'm kind of waiting for a telephone call from this officer. I promise you, but we got a special guest in the studio right now, and then let me share a little bit about him, only because I've been knowing him for a very, very long time. In fact, I happen to be fortunate enough to be the godfather of his two sons. Alchemy, as he is called by today. Is a very interesting, unusual person. I mean, he's probably one of the most prolific artists, especially in the Midwest, and certainly in some centers of the United States. I do know that Michael Jackson has one of his paintings. I know that Barack Obama did have in his possession. I'm not sure what the painting is now in his possession. He's done things for Earth, Wind, and Fire, Billy Wooten. I mean, and some of the murals that are very prevalent here in Indianapolis, Alchemy is done. He holds a special place in my heart because of the journeys that he and I have been through together and the shared bond between our families. But more importantly, that even though throughout the years that we have disagreed on subjects, especially those subjects that deal with how things are handled in the world, the truth of the matter is that we respect each other's opinion. And you know, like any other true brothers, we get in arguments and fight and do what true brothers do. But we don't pull out a gun and kill each other, okay? I mean, and I'm going to touch a bit on that. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the air Alchemy the Artist.
Thank you.
because of you. You've been doing some incredible things. I do know that you're going on, is that the ABC affiliate, Channel 6?
Or
the,
NBC.
NBC.
NBC, affiliate. That was Monday.
Right, I do know that Monday that you were interviewed, and tell them when you're coming back on again or when it's actually going to air so they know that, we get that out of the way.
Well, actually, it was I did it Monday at 1, and they said it'd be on a week from Monday.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when it's coming.
So that would be, a week from Monday.
That'd probably be next Monday or Tuesday.
I'm trying to think what day it is. Oh, we'll have to do that. We'll get into that. But I want you to pay close attention to that. Let me, because of Alchemy's experience, before we actually get into the art conversation, we're going to talk about some social things briefly. Is that all right with you? And let me share something with you. He and I just had a conversation this morning where we're working on doing a very special art show hosted by Alchemy. And we're going to throw it on the air. We're gonna throw it on the air and do it right. So I want you to know that. But let's go to some social issues, Mike, that are bothering me. One of the things right now that I don't get, especially when I look at this whole Black Lives Matter movement and the killings that I see. I mean, I always say, you know, Black Lives Matter, apparently not very much to us at times. But the interesting thing about it is when we were younger, man, we threw a rotten egg every now and then towards the window. We might have broken one of our neighbor's window playing, throwing rocks, you know, and we fought, and they were back friends. But you know what? Right now, I'm seeing a culture where killing somebody is a badge of courage in our community. I mean, what's up with that?
That's based on the ignorance of the youth. But mainly, I remember back when Dolores Poindexter got on the radio and Tupac went on there and embarrassed her.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to people about this all the time. I get flack because everybody worships Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that Tupac made a very bad move that day. He told her that, no, art don't imitate life. He said, no, he said, art imitates life. Life don't imitate art. Well, he was severely wrong. He was wrong. That's absolutely false. Everything around you, everything you use, everything that makes up this world we call our life is a reproduction of artwork from an idea from someone's mind. It became what we call a crystallized thought, like the chair, this desk, and everything.
So wait a minute. With that being said, are you saying that artwork influenced the attitude of these guys thinking that killing somebody is a badge of courage?
I'm saying life imitates. Life is a reproduction of art.
Gotcha.
People are influenced by art. People behave like manner of the art. I mean, it's simple. If you take and play a song over and over and over, you hear a song, then you run around without even thinking that song going through your head. And you say, damn, I got that song going through my head. Well, likewise, if kids are quoting, or first of all, the music industry of these guys is owned by the same people that own the prison. And prison became a private enterprise. To have a private enterprise in the business, you've got to have a product that you sell to make money off of.
Stop telling the truth.
There's absolutely no other way you can make money.
That's right.
So in order to for the prisons to be prosperous, they have to get somebody to promote the prison. And the rappers have been tricked into doing that, straight up. The new Uncle Toms are the rappers.
Okay. Now, check this out.
Yeah.
Wait.
New Coonery.
Let's go back and so people understand what you're saying here, which is very true. The TV media, the radio media, the written media has become the tool, I guess. Maybe I'm not saying that. Have become the catalyst of the majority of the problems we're having within our community today.
Well, the media is the mouthpiece of all this mess.
It's art.
Which is propaganda.
It's art.
And well, that's
media.
The
art
is the products all around you that
sure,
you use.
Sure.
But the media ain't dealing with art. The media is dealing with propaganda.
Well, spoken word
and the propaganda support big business and industry.
Right, but you have to admit that even the spoken word, when we talk about rap, it doesn't make a difference, but the spoken word itself, right, is art. But here's what's interesting. The same, maybe not the same influence,
uh-huh.
Okay, but the same thing was true when we were coming up. okay? Mm-hmm. And the art that we were listening to or reading is the same as today. And my whole thing is, when I sit and think about it, we're not evolving, we're devolving.
We're devolving.
Exactly.
But
so
by design, we're being orchestrated into devolving, and the media is using so-called art that has been perverted to serve that purpose. I mean, this is what they are doing. They were wiser. It's like back in the old days, the scribe was wiser than the priest. Well, today, the media ain't that wise, but they're smarter than the public. And while the people listen to the radio, the radio and all these people are paid and owned. The companies are owned, and they're owned to serve and made to serve the company to make them prosperous. Wait a minute, here's something.
Okay.
Do you know that if the state does not supply prisoners for the prison, the prison system can sue the state?
Yes, I understand that. But you know what? You just said something that I've got to bring to you. Don't get mad at me. If I haven't offended somebody today, I haven't done my job. But check this out. The majority of the artistic media outlet is owned by the Jewish people.
Yes.
I'm not saying a criticism of that, okay?
And it's not anti-Semite.
Right. What I'm saying is true. As a matter of fact,
slave ships too.
Right. Well, but yeah, no doubt. But check this out. Here's what I said to you last week. The loan business, paying on time. You go to the pawn shop. All that stuff, and I'm telling you, payday loan companies today are no different than that same scheme. And guess who brought it into our culture? The Jewish people. Now, I'm not criticizing them for that, okay? Because it definitely has its benefits to a lot of people. But when you think about certain ills that we have in this country, regardless of whether it's Jewish, LGB community, black, doesn't make a difference. We need to be able to confront the problems that we have and deal with them fairly, because if not, we're going to continue to have the problems. Part of the anti-Semite movement, I believe, maybe wrong, but part of it has a lot to do with the media feeding this ugliness, number one. Therefore, they're profiting behind that ugliness. But even worse, the worst crime is nobody wants to tell the truth. It is what it is. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying that it's good. But it is what it is, okay? And we need to start facing that. I don't care whether it's a Jewish community or the community of color. I mean, you cannot cure your demons if you can't face them. Am I wrong or right?
I agree.
Now, the other thing is this. Personal responsibility.
Yes.
Personal responsibility is something really got to get into. Mike, what's your attitude about that, man?
Even before personal responsibility, we have to learn self-control. But that goes all across the board. See, because the whole meaning of the word man means master all nature, and they think it's nature all around you. No, it's nature of yourself, all nature of self. Self-control. I mean, if you take the alphabets, like I deal with the alphabets, I'm painting pictures.
We're
going to
get into that too.
The alphabets say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that's a beast effigy. Effigy is image of what? A beast. You're in that body. You are I.
Now,
the current flowing through that body.
Let me stop you right there. Because I want you to really get into that conversation so they understand it, because I understand it because we've had this conversation. But I think a lot of people, man, don't understand what you're saying because they don't know how to open up their minds and let their, ass follow. Okay, you got to free your mind, let your ass follow. You have to be receptive to something different than you have heard before. And I'm going to tell you, to me, the downfall of community of color is this. Rather than look at things in its proper perspective, then you want to look at things as the prism of going to church, which is somebody else telling you the story. You're not reading the book yourself. So therefore, you rely on somebody else to tell you a story where you should take the time and free your mind and absorb as much as you can, and then you sort out the story, or at least your story, okay? We get caught up in too many other things. So before we go further, I'm going to take a brief pause for the calls, and then we're going to start talking about your artwork and talk about the things you do. But we're still going to continue this conversation. And Bernstein's over like, wow, really? He's
started, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines. It's fine. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You got a few more minutes if you want. I'm just letting another song work. Okay, let's play your play one.
I love that.
Yeah, my mama and them somehow disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream. And it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see, this is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything. everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, 'cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down. So much didn't happen that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home, held my sister as a child. Kinda hurt me 'cause I could have my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn. This is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. There's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, alright. And all I wanna be is true. I look up to the sky, Lord, why do I cry when no one is looking? Is the blame for this pain even caused by the shame of this fame I've been given? My pride don't cause me to hide my true feelings, 'cause I can only be real. Hey, 'cause I can only be real. And all I wanna be is true. Alright. And all I wanna be is true.
It's not that I don't want you here.
My book.
Hey, hello, hello. I'm back.
I got one out in the car.
I had to take a pause for the cars here, take care of a couple of things, but we're back with Stephen B. The show Controversy. Let me pay some bills, give you an announcement before you get back in our conversation. Let's see. The TV lineup. New episode Sunday, Culture Kings on the SIB TV channel. You want to check that out. It's two brothers that are from different backgrounds, but they're united in the fact they're talking about both things that are real. So you need to check that show out. On Wednesday, Pep and Snap on the One God TV channel. Yeah, I'm out of breath because you know. Saturday, Yaza Radio Raw on the Yaza Radio Raw channel. Also, the radio lineup is moving forward on Sundays from 7 to 9, Thursdays from 10 to 12. Hosted by Dwayne Abernathy. Controversy, it's me, you see, Stephen B. Hit me out on Monday from 10 to 12 p.m. Excuse me. And Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's hosted by me, you see, Stephen B. Also, Culture Talk Radio on Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., my girl, K. Marie, and you want to listen to Talk to Tana on Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m., hosted by Tana B. Also, I need some water. Excuse me. Just, you can do this stuff on podcasts and stuff. Excuse me for a second. Okay, also, Listen, if you got some security problems that you are concerned about around your home or business, you want to contact our sponsor, Digital Guard. You can contact them on www.preventbusinesscrime.com for your business and www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. The call in number is 515-605-9800. We're here with Alchemy the Artist. Now we're going to talk about his artwork. And how to put it this way. Mike, I'm going to ask you some questions because really I think that since we're in Black History Month, it's time to tell your story as well, because that's what history is all about. And so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll talk about your art. The first question is, how did you get to become the artist that you are today? I mean, what made you do art?
Well, I was, everybody in my family drew. My brothers drew. My father used to draw, but he became a tailor. His brother was a professional artist called Uncle Danny. I was on the floor coloring a coloring book when I was 4 years old. Uncle Danny came in and saw what I was doing and put me in his lap with the coloring book and went to coloring in the color book and made it, gave it form and shading and everything, made it look real. And I was, it really looked real to me because I was 4 years old. I said, wow, how'd you do that? He said, well, everything is drawing. You got to draw first. So I took a pencil and I went to try to draw, but I couldn't draw like my brothers. I couldn't draw. And then we moved, we were in Lockfield, and I'm looking at TV, and there's a program on TV called John Nagy Learned to Draw.
Ah, yeah, I remember that one.
And yeah, he showed me how to take a piece of paper, fold it up, and make it like a ruler,
right,
and use bars on it, the lines on the paper as measuring. And he told me, said, now the eye measures the face. And he showed me how the eye measured the face. And it said that the face, head, measures the body. And I learned how to do that, and then I all drew my brothers, and I've been drawing ever since. I said, when I grew up, I'm going to be an artist.
Let me ask you a question. I'm indulging in some things that we shouldn't talk about that inform me. But, you know, during your evolving to be the artist that you become, you went into some difficulties that led you into some problems. And my question is, did your artwork during that period get better?
Well, the change I went through, I was, I grew up in Lockfield. Like I said, my father was a heroin addict all my life. They released him from the service. He was a lightweight champ of the Navy. He got his arm caught in the machine. Machine nearly tore his arm off, ruined his boxing career.
We gotta talk about that too.
So what they did, they released my father. They're not like Kennedy. They released him with a permit to take morphine. They released my father, a morphine addict.
Navy veteran.
Yeah. Okay, he was morphine, heroin addict all my life. Mm-hmm. Our whole family suffered from it. All of us wound up using heroin in the streets. I watched my friends shoot drugs. I drew a picture years ago when I was 16 years old of a friend of mine who was 16 years old, going on 17,
a long time
shooting
ago.
Heroin.
Long time ago.
Well, yeah, long time ago. I'm 70 years old.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, and then I became the dislike of heroin because my father was heroin addict and my brothers was using. So, you know, I picked up two pistols. I'm running around with two pistols and I'm trying to rob heroin dealers, dope boys. I robbed a couple of dope boys and switched up and robbed Vicky's Liquor Store. No, Church's Chicken. I got away with robbing Vicky's Liquor Store. I robbed Barbecue Heaven. I robbed Church's Chicken. I robbed both Barbecue Heavens, one on Michigan Road back then, and the one on 30th Street.
And you were robbing a good friend today?
Yeah. I turned around and robbed Church's Chicken on 22nd Street. Thought I got away with it. One foot. I'm in a car later on, and police stopped the car and said, this looked like a car that was in the robbery. Wrong, but they had the right guy. I was in there. And they took me. I went to prison. I accepted it as fate. Hmm. Okay? And so I went to prison.
Tell them the title that you had in prison. Satan?
No. They call me Militant Mike.
Militant Mike.
Yeah. Militant Mike. Because I was a little big guy with no hair on my face. Again, my father was lightweight champ in the Navy. So by the time I was five, I could count a punch. I wasn't scared of anyone. So they had John boxing in jail, and I was the champ. So it didn't matter. When I went to prison, I wasn't taking nothing from nobody. They called me Militant Mike because I stood up against the guards, the gangs, everybody in Roanoke gangs. I walked by myself. And when I was, man, I met my teacher in there. I never before met an oil painter. I met a guy in there that oil paint. He taught me everything about oil painting. He got out of penitentiary, never painted since. I got out of penitentiary and been painting ever since.
Right.
Yeah. So,
And
everybody don't go to the same school.
Right. But you know what was interesting to me in reference to this story? They should tell these brothers out here, man, that you can accomplish anything if you set your mind to it. And killing people ain't the way. I mean, really, man. I mean, you know, when I sit back and think, and I'm sure you have some of the same thoughts I have, I sit back and think, yeah, I did some dumb shit. I did. We all did. But you know what? These people today, man, these young brothers out here today are looking at it like it's a video game. You cap on the day, they're going to get up tomorrow, but it don't happen. I don't get it, man.
The problem with you today have no purpose. They lack purpose. They lack purpose, therefore they lack focus. You know, and all of that also is they lack discipline. See, if you ain't got no purpose, you're not trying. You ain't trying for nothing. You ain't got no discipline.
That's fine.
You know, and freedom only comes from discipline.
That's fine.
Freedom does not come from what you think is freedom. Really, if you think anything's free, you're dumb.
You're right. 100% right.
Everything comes with hard work. Now, if you want to go and whoop somebody, you better first go whoop yourself. In the shape.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. People don't whip they say it. They want to go whoop everybody but themselves. They want to belittle everybody but themselves. You better be hard on you so you can hone you. If you want a good sewer, you got to put it in fire, beat it with a hammer, put it in the water, put it back in the fire, beat it with a hammer, and so on.
But you know what?
That's the way you got to be with yourself.
And you're right. And you know what? That's interesting you said it because you like that about your art. You are probably your hardest critic. I know that. I mean, you look at things, and when I mean, I've seen a lot of his artwork. I mean, he's done art that is three-dimensional, which we'll get into that. But, I mean, you look at artwork and you think, or it seems you think anyway, I can't say how you think, that because it's not good enough for your eye, it's not good enough for anybody else.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
Right, right.
You know, and I don't jack off with art. I don't do art for the sake of just doing art to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
I do art for the sake of rendering something to you that I visualize, that I've seen, something that you need to know just like I need to know it.
You know what? And now let's get into the heart of the art. You know, I know one of the things that you have spent a lot of time doing is the alphabet. You want to explain that part of your artwork?
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, that's my pet peeve. That's the very thing that I live for. And people say, why? Well, I was reading a book, and the book said when they robbed the library of Alexandria, Egypt, the scribes, who were wiser than the priests, took the Book of Life and hid it in the sands of the desert. And everybody was running around the desert looking for this Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize that they were talking about the mind. See, because exactly. The mind full of light but devoid of water, which is wisdom.
Okay? You know,
there is no wisdom in the mind. There's only knowledge.
And
light.
You know, one of the things that you know, as I write every day, Mike, that you know, I don't say Mike, talk to me, is I talk about the God within because, you know, one of the things that I've learned through this whole process is if you don't understand the power of the God within yourself, then you certainly don't understand what God is about. God is in what he creates.
God is in what God creates. And everything around you is a great operation divine, God.
Exactly.
What's around you? Air, fire, water, earth, hot, cold, wet, dry. One guy said, well, wait a minute. Air is made up of oxygen and nitrogen. I said, man, we're not talking about air you breathe.
Yeah.
We're talking about water you drink.
Yeah.
We're talking about the symbolic representation of the elements in all their forms.
And that's why
air represents gas. Fire represents energy, spirit, mind, willpower. The air is your mind. The water is your flow of energy, emotion. And the earth is the crystals. That which is your greatest potential. That's where the jewels and everything is from.
And you know, and that's why my theme song is written in the stone by Earth, Wind, and Fire, because that explains it. It really explains
what
the words. Yeah.
Air, fire, water, earth is also YHVH. Top it. Right. But nobody, they won't tell you that. Probably don't even know.
Right. You're right, man. You know, like I said, you know, the conversation that we have, and I'm sure you agree, is, you know, we talk with about 10% of our brains and the rest of it we do in our pockets, because people don't understand, because they don't want to understand. I mean, everybody's becoming so competitive about their understanding and their wisdom and knowledge. Let me share this with you. First of all, your wisdom and knowledge is important to you, and it should be, without a shadow of a doubt. But you must believe and understand that if you think that you are so wise that no one can supply you with some answers, then you're stuck on stupid. You know, Mark Twain said, you know, when I was 18 years old, I knew nothing. It took me to be 35 to find out. No, he said I knew everything when I was 18. But it took me to be 35 to know that I knew nothing.
Well, an aunt can be your teacher.
Exactly.
Okay. Socrates made that statement about only thing I know is I know nothing. Now, I differ from that. Hear what I say. Life is about certainty, not guessing or belief.
Yes, sir.
You don't believe that you got to take a dookie. You know you do.
Exactly.
If a man say he don't know he take a dookie, the man that don't know he got to take a dookie, I say he's full of shit.
Facts.
Okay? You know all kind of things, and those are things you operate on for sure. You know when you got to go to work. You know how to drive that car, and you don't have to think to do it.
Yeah. You're 100% right.
Okay? Now, what I'm saying, though, is people tend to believe. The belief is what messes them up, because belief belies Eve, or rather it belies that which naturally operates all around you. What's operating all around you? God.
What
great
is
operation divine?
Hey, what does Stevie Wonder say? The great philosopher, you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstitions ain't the way.
It ain't the way.
That's what we're talking about, man.
It ain't the way.
One of the most fascinating things to me about what you do and creating art is that I've been around enough exhibits and been around enough critics that even the way they criticize is an education around people of art. It's not like out in the street, you dumb nigga. You know, you stupid. You ain't listen to what I'm saying. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not that kind of criticism.
No, they tell you, say, you could probably, the values here need a little bit of,
right.
And then the contrast here. See, they tell me the things
and
that are operational that you can see.
And it's respectful.
Ain't nothing wrong with good criticism.
It's respectful. But let me ask you this, in saying that, why is that? I mean, why is it that you have this critical thinking community, which is artists basically, versus this uncritical, unnecessary thinking negativism from society as a whole?
Well, it's easy. You're dealing with non-disciplined and developed children, emotionally undeveloped, therefore insecure, with egos all in the way, have no self-awareness. If they did, they will know what they don't know, and they'd be willing to learn.
Wait a minute. That's why you should say that. Because you've been, like I said, you've been knowing me, God, since 67. You've been knowing me, God, since I was like 30. No.
Right, he's 43, so I've been knowing you for 39 years.
Yeah.
Since Right was four.
But you know what, though? Somebody said to me something the other day that I had to laugh, because, you know, I'm an arrogant soul bitch. That I am. I am what I am.
Yeah, they say I am too.
Somebody said to me, your problem is you're jealous. A woman said this, and I said, really? I didn't know that. I mean, I'm too arrogant to be jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that being said, I'm finding that people do not understand the statement, to thy own self be true.
Thy own self be true.
Right.
And that's thy own self.
That's what you and I are talking about, especially when we're dealing with art. I mean, because my philosophy is this. I don't care that you don't like me. You know what? And this is no kidding.
You're going to respect me.
Right. But this is no kidding. When I say that this gentleman here is one of my best friends, he is one of my best friends and probably my best friend. This gentleman here was my best man at my wedding, one of them, okay? I'm serious. I mean, I've spent, and this is no kidding.
You know, on the second one, you let me be the father of the bride. I gave the bride away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was an honor.
That was really an honor. Now, he and I actually spent a whole month in his apartment every single day.
Yeah.
For a whole month.
Wow. Every now and then we took a break to play backgammon.
Compiling information,
we compile information of the five best things from all over the world. Everything from cars, clothes, everything.
I think it was seven, wasn't it?
Seven what?
Seven best things.
Seven best things. Seven. Right. In every category you can imagine.
Yeah.
We researched this for a whole month, and I'm talking about from like 7 in the morning. So sometimes 11 o'clock at night, every single day.
Every day.
In fact, this happened during the time of the Challenger explosion. He was drawing, I was writing, and all of a sudden we saw this explosion. And then Brian looked at me and said, "Hey, man, I think the rocket blew up." I said, "I do too."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember that? We were sitting there watching when it blew up, the Challenger, yeah. So we did this. Yeah. And then what we did was we took the book and gave it to someone who was a at that time, a very credible
author. Yeah, that's the recorder.
That's the recorder.
Yeah.
And he stole the book, and we haven't seen it since.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyway, that's how close we are.
He didn't publish it. He lost it.
He lost it.
Or sold it or is up with it. We don't
have it. I know that. And that's how close we are. And I'm saying it because when I sit and watch over the years, or I have watched, you draw and watch your artwork mature at such an outrageous level. And that's the only word I can use, is mature at such an outrageous level. And people now are seeing what you're doing. And these same people who saw it 10 years ago was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to do this. And you kept drawing. You kept drawing.
Yeah.
And look at the things you're doing now. I mean, if you had a message to tell somebody, these young people, of what they need to do, especially those artists.
Look, I don't give up. I said, I started when I was a kid. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I kept drawing. I went always. I drew in prison. When I got out, I kept drawing. I have been through all kind of changes. I lived on the street, but I kept drawing. I drew the alphabets and wrote about the alphabets. It took me over a period of 29 years to finally write the book. And I'm still working on it. I drew the alphabets over and over and over. I've published 3 books. Now I've been to IU twice lecturing on it. There's no teacher, no professor doing what I'm doing. I'm teaching the professors about the alphabet. I'm going into schools. I've been to Tinley 3 times. The second time I went to Tinley, they broadcast me to 3 different schools.
Let me
back next month. Right. I just went there a few Fridays ago.
Right. Let's discuss briefly what you're teaching them about the alphabet, because I think that's important, because it has a lot to do with your artwork that you've been working on over the years. I mean, it kind of filled me in on where you're at in reference to teaching them the alphabet.
Okay, I got to start with this. The alphabet is the book of life hidden in the sands of the desert, as it was said. They weren't talking about the desert. They're talking about the mind, which is the void of watcher, which is wisdom. Wisdom is down and here in the solar plexus. You got 2 brains. The brain up here is your second digestive system. Brain down here is your second conscious system. Okay? This thinking brain. This is a different kind of conscious. That's what they call the subconscious. That's in here, in your solar plexus. Okay? All right. Now, that's the wisdom. Up here in the top is the knowledge. Now, you learned the ABC. They gave you the ABC, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but nobody told you that was a beast effigy. H-I-J-K-L-M-N, hijack ill men. A beast effigy, hijack ill men. That's what it says.
Right. But I also want them to understand, while you're telling this story, that we're talking a thing of knowledge. It has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. With the exception of we know that how a lot of these
first of all, the color of your skin is only there like you tint windows of your car to protect the interior. The color of your skin is the tint in the epidermis to protect the dermis from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. It is the ozone of the human body. Otherwise, the color of skin is an illusion.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as melanin. There's no element called melanin, y'all. What's in the skin is carbon. We are all carbon units. Stop with the nonsense. Too many of us are coming up with this fake stuff and trying to act like it's real knowledge. It's not. You're not being scientific. By the way, science means to try, test, and prove. The first part of that is con. C-O-N, con. That's to peruse, study, and fix the memory. What? What you try, test, and prove. Or otherwise, you have no contents. conscience.
And the only reason this whole color issue comes into play, the only reason is the fact that the knowledge in which we're talking about came from Sephardic Jews, and they certainly wouldn't walk around looking white. I mean,
why was they purifying the race? Because they're trying to get rid of the black out of their race.
Exactly.
Now that gets deep. I don't support what Nick Cannon said.
No. Stop. Stop.
See, because we are not the. Wait a minute. First of all, you got to understand. Black folks were first. Black folks went north. The landmass shift. Black folks was up north. Ice Age came along. The black folks up north got trapped up there, and they turned white over thousands of years.
But you know what?
Wait a minute. Then they came down. They were the second people on the planet. They mixed with the blacks that was here first and made all the other semi-white and semi-black races.
But you know what, though?
Semi.
But you know what, though? We just last week, once again, we were talking about this. Did you know what? One of the great discoverers of human history was Dr. Leakey and his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, they came out with this theory about, you know, who was here first. But then even they had to go back within the last 10 or 20 years and said, excuse me, we made a mistake. That Eve, if this Eve person existed, would have to have been a black woman.
Yeah.
Man, listen.
Here's the thing.
Europe choked.
Black folks did. I mean, everybody came from black folks. It's a fact.
There's no doubt.
But when you're talking about Eve, most people don't understand. They're not talking about a woman. They're talking about the evolution of life on the earth. Just they copied it from Osiris. Osiris turned green on resurrection because the resurrection of Osiris is the growth of the green plant life on the earth. The sun cools and becomes a ball of fire trapped in rock and water, and then it resurrects. Resurrect the flame is plants.
But you know what, though, Mike? Let me tell you something, and that's funny you bring it up. And I've said this, and I'm pretty sure that my theory, if you want to call it this, or hypothesis is true. First of all, when they wrote the Bible, we know that they wrote it in symbolism because they only wanted that knowledge, or only certain people to have that knowledge.
Right. It's written in code.
So when you talk about this whole Adam and Eve thing, this is my belief. First of all, if you really want me to believe that this logical God who created us with two eyes, with two legs, all this logical stuff would do something illogical like produce a woman species and have a snake talk to her about doing anything. That's number
Here's
one.
Here's the snake. The snake is the Solarian vortex.
Let me finish. Here's my theory to all this stuff. And they talk about the apple. There's a reason they keep stressing this apple, really, to say this is true.
Here's what I believe.
I believe, and this is because of the way things went down, that this snake was a penis. Oh, man, I believe that. When he talks about that, okay? And I believe that when they talk about the apple, and they're talking about the woman's vagina, because, number one, those are so significant in the story. I may be completely wrong, but those are so significant in the story. It's interesting that this logical God would create a scenario where this woman and man would be cast out of this so-called Garden of Eden, and cast out, and then she be chastened for giving of herself to this man, okay, this man, and she be chastened with bleeding once a month and, childbirth of great pain close to death. That is not the God that's out there.
Well, the story is symbolism, and again, God is great operation divine of what? Air, fire, water, earth.
Exactly.
These things come together, create a nebula of clouds of molecules. Molecules get dense, then they get dense. They got going through them called a diode, a pole, positive, negative pole. They get too close, you get a spark. The nebula gets too dense, you get a thermonuclear combustion from that spark called a star. Star cools and become a ball of fire trapped in rock and water.
Okay. Wait. Now, once again.
In other words, a planet. That's how Osiris wound up in the chest of Set.
But wait,
because things set down around the sun.
Okay. What you're saying is 100% true. And once again, I'm saying to people who are listening, it's important you listen to this show because the knowledge in which you're going to get out of this show is going to be nothing like you've ever heard before. And I encourage you to understand that I'm not about forcing anybody's knowledge on anybody. But here, what I'm all about is this. It's called the real. If you are afraid to listen to someone else's philosophy or opinion
about what they've experienced, then the truth of the matter is go back to sleep and start over because your day's about to become very bad.
It don't matter what you believe about a car. You ain't going to pray to get it fixed. You're going to have to take it to that mechanic.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And that mechanic's going to do certain things that work to that car. He ain't going to believe that he's going to go in there and fix it.
That's his job.
It ain't a guessing game.
That's his job. Just like your job in life, your mission and your job in life is to fulfill your successful destiny. And for you to sit there and think in your wildest dreams,
purpose,
woe is me, God, why me? Why not you?
Yeah.
You better turn that negativism into some positive
action. Honored.
Come on.
You better be honored.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
So guess what? Life is an illusion.
Please.
All this stuff is temporal. It's going away. And you can't keep none of it except what you have became.
Guess what? We're close to the death announcement. We are to the beginning. So
it's what you become that matters. Mm-hmm. That's what you take with you.
Yeah, let's share this with you. The call-in number is 515-605-9800. Feel free to call in and chime in some of the things we talk about. If you're scared, say you're scared. We ain't scared up in here. Not yesterday either, okay? Name of the game is you got to say what's on your mind. You got to share. Because there's no, you know the dumbest thing I've heard in my life? I'm going to hold on to my knowledge.
What? That's stupid.
I mean, really. He who saves his soul loses it. He who gives his soul gains it because your soul is your psyche, which is a time of mind. You have to give of it to benefit from your ideals and your mental powers. If you keep them to yourself, they go to waste. Come
That's
on, man.
Fact. That's a fact. The other thing I'll tell you is we're being sponsored by Digital Guard. If you are worried about your security, which you should be in today's society, then you need to check out Digital Guard. Number one, you can contact them for your business at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for your business. And for your personal use, that's www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. This technology is unbelievable. The people behind it, I mean, you can sit in your home and see everything around you. If you're not at home, you see everything around. Home. You can also protect your family, which is important. So the digitalguard.com. Check us out, www.preventcrime.com for your business and www.homecrime.com for your home. Also, don't forget Culture Talk Radio, Tuesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., hosted by my girl, Kay Marie. You got to check that out. And Talk with Tana. That's Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., hosted by Tana B. And also, our other lineups. We got moving forward on Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, 10 to 12 p.m., hosted by Dwayne Alexander. Dwayne Abernathy, I apologize. That's a bad name. I'm sorry. I apologize. And then Controversies, you're dealing with Stephen B. as your host. That's on Monday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., you need to check us out. The other thing is, you need to take the time to call in and talk to us sometime because we'd like to hear what you got to say, too. I do know that at some of the times, because of the time of day, you can't. But call in, and we're going to put you on and see what you have to say. Now, got to take a quick pause of calls and get back to art. Sports, the Super Bowl.
The Slave Bowl.
Hey, I got to go.
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah, I got over at it.
Listen, you know what? Thank you for stopping by, Alcree. We're gonna get together, and we're gonna do this art exhibit really soon. Yeah. Okay, as soon as you and I can sit and talk and map it out, we're gonna do. It's gonna be a live art exhibit that we're gonna do virtually with Alcree. He's gonna explain his art. You're gonna see some of his artwork, and really have a chance to get some of his artwork as well.
And so you know, we're working on the first Yizer art show May the 14th. It's funny that you said something about art today because we'd already been talking about it. So now we got to include also. We do both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a shout, without.
Is that your coffee?
Is that your coffee you left
out? Oh, it's just an empty cup.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, man. We're going to get back together. We're going to get you back here next week so
got me over here.
Okay. You can contact Alcree at, can I give out the number?
Okay.
I don't know. Can I give out the number? Yeah. You give out the number. Because I don't have
it. What number I'm giving out?
Well, to contact you.
Oh, 317-800-0144.
Sorry about that, man. I was looking at my message phone.
See, that's what those phones are doing to you.
Yeah, it had a, some, this is important. That's what I'm about the mural I'm painting on over at.
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
All right, man.
We'll get you guys.
All right, see you again, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, man.
All right.
Now we've got to get to the Super Bowl.
Slave Bowl.
Okay. You want to talk about that first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a break, one of the two. Up to you.
Let's take a quick break. Let's come back so we can organize how we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. The bursting called the Slave Bowl. Okay. Like I said, you're on Controversial Wednesday. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Controversy with your host, Stephen B, doing the key of E. That means excellence for you and me, black, bold, and beautiful. That's what we talk about up on the show. As I left, we were talking about sports. We got to hit sports, and I got to hit my catfish. Got to talk about my catfish. And I ain't talking about the ones you eat either. So that's questionable, too. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But to the sports, the slave bowl is what you call it.
The slave bowl.
Okay. Let's talk about the slave bowl first. Okay. And then we'll talk about the game. When you talk about the slave bowl, and all jokes aside, what are you referring to the culture of the NFL?
Say that one more time, sorry.
As you think about the NFL and what's going on, especially now, and you jokingly refer to it as a slave bowl, I mean, I know
elaborate.
How you feel. What? Yeah, elaborate.
Elaborate.
Yeah, elaborate on that.
Well, for starters, I found out the other day by doing some research, because you know I'm still stuck on what Mahomes did
in the
AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And so I did my research, my fact checking, and I found out that the NFL, I cannot remember the year, used to be known as competitive sports.
Yeah.
Then they changed it to sports entertainment. So now they fall in the same category as the WWE, as wrestling.
Oh.
And so, in order to do that, there's articles and articles about how it's some games are scripted, where they know the outcome of these games before they happen. And they don't fall into no stuff, whatever, because they're considered sports entertainment now. Once they took out the word of competitive sports,
right,
like the Olympics, once they took that competitive sports out and made it sports entertainment, it could be scripted like the WWE.
Well,
boom.
And you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I really am not. I'm disappointed what you just told me. But with that being said, you know, anytime that you have the amount of money, you know, the Colts, for instance, are worth, what, $800 million? Okay.
Billion. They ain't worth a billion.
I don't think it's a billion yet. It may be. You can look that up. But at any rate, I mean, you're talking about a lot of money. Okay. And anytime you have that amount of money involved in an organization as large as the NFL, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, I still can't get over Deflategate, but it is what it is.
It's entertainment.
But now that we've said that, from the standpoint of the slave thing, and this is what he's referring to, I think, as well as I, the recent controversy involving the coach in Miami is nothing really new. I mean, it's been hidden very well, but it's nothing new, okay? Not only in NFL, but just in sports in general. I mean, some have done better than others, but the truth of the matter is it only comes as a result of the public being aware of it, and so therefore it changes, okay? You know, when you think about the combine and how the teams are selected, some of the things that have happened in the NFL, especially over the last 5 or 6 years, you really have to scratch your head and wonder exactly what are we doing here? I mean, is it in actuality a quote slave trade under the guise of entertainment or what? So, you know, it's a dialogue that needed to come forward. Will anything happen? No, I'm being honest with you, only because I think they're just too large. And I mean, you're talking about mega bucks and everything from media all the way down to the apparel. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But with that being said,
yeah.
Who are you going for the Super Bowl?
Hold on. Before I'm going to tell you that and say this one more thing. The thing, the guy from Miami, this is the problem that I have with him. And I thought about Kaepernick, too, is this. They didn't start complaining and start crying racist until they didn't have a job.
Well, no,
he was He was. Think about it. He, the guy from Miami, he wasn't crying racism when he was the coach at Miami. Then when he was on his way to get an interview with the Giants or whatever, he wasn't crying racism. He wasn't crying racism until he found out that they already gave the job way before they interviewed him. So now he want to cry wolf.
No, he's crying racism. Let's be realistic, because he did not know what was going on. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Okay. Slipped up and somehow sent this, and I don't even think that was a slip up. I think Bill Belichick did it on purpose. I'm
okay.
But I don't think that Bill Belichick did it because he just wanted to be a focus as much as he did it because he wanted this guy to know this is what time it is. Okay. There's honor amongst thieves. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm not calling him a thief. I'm just saying that as a term. Now, and once that came out, then obviously his feelings about a lot of things changed, and I'm sure. You know, I think this was interesting, though, right now, is that the very person who could really blow this out of the water, but I'm glad he hasn't had any input at this point other than the obvious, and that's Tony Dungy, okay? Because okay. Tony Dungy is one of the most respected sports personalities right now.
$3.2 billion, the Colts.
You know, I mean, $3.2 billion. Anyway, damn. Boy, you're talking pay raise. Anyway, and that's his only business, too, by the way. He's the only owner that doesn't own anything else. The coach is his business.
He don't own nothing else?
The only owner in the NFL that has no outside business interest. But anyway, back to this. It's frustrating, but it's not surprising. That's all I can say. I mean, it doesn't
okay.
surprise me.
But general question. Do you think that this particular coach saw some type of racist activity in the NFL before the lawsuit? Or do you think that this is first? Like, oh, my God, the NFL is racist.
I can't answer the question because I don't know what the man was thinking. What I do know is what came out. What came out is, you know, that this information came to him from another coach, and what his motives were behind it, I don't know. But with that being said, it's an issue that needs to be discussed. Now, and the difference between him and Kaepernick is this. Kaepernick, this is my honest belief.
Okay.
I don't think that Kaepernick did what he did to embarrass America.
No, he definitely didn't do that. No.
I think he did what he did because he fully felt the way he felt. And it cost him his job. Okay.
Right.
Well, he didn't bring it out. They brought it out by doing what they did. Okay. Because once they accused him of something, then he had to explain why he did what he did. That's what happened. You know, once again, if you don't like the affair, don't produce the cause. Okay.
Right.
Had nobody said anything about that in the media or the NFL or the owners, especially the owners, then that issue would have went away like it wasn't nothing. And they could have fired him without, you know, with no fanfare. The NFL.
Right.
But that didn't happen that way. It didn't. I mean, the Kaepernick situation and this coach situation is two different things as I see it. But it still tells us that there's a problem within the NFL. Now, let's answer the question I asked you. Mm-hmm. Who are you going for in the Super Bowl?
The Rams, baby.
Why?
I was a Rams fan before they – okay. True story. Everybody think I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I was a Rams fan at the age of 7 years old.
Already, you told a lie. I have justified the lie for it.
Oh, see, there you go.
No,
there you go.
No,
see,
no,
there
no,
you go. So I have T-shirts when I was a kid saying I like the L.A. Rams and the Washington Redskins were my two favorite teams. When the Rams went to St. Louis, I stopped being a fan.
I got a question
But then when they got back to L.A., I was a fan again. So I'm going for the Rams, baby.
I got a question to ask you.
All right.
Made this statement when you was a kid, you still a kid.
But that's true too. I'm a baby. I'm a baby at heart.
Okay. I'm first.
So yeah.
I got underwear over the years. No. Oh
wow.
No.
He might be right. No.
No. But
so who you going for?
I'm going for Cincinnati. I'm gonna tell you why.
Oh wow.
I'm only going for Cincinnati because back in the day before we got the Colts,
yeah.
You had a choice. You had Chicago or Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's true.
And me, I'm a flip flopper. I was at that time because. You know, the Super Bowl shuffle came out. Hell, I was a Chicago fan.
He was,
hey,
baby.
Then Boomer Esiason and what they did over at the Bengals, then I became a Bengal fan. So So, I mean, you know, I'm one of these guys. I'm a true fan now of the Colts without a shadow of a doubt. But, and I'm a true fan of the Pacers. Don't ask me why sometimes. That just.
Speaking of the Pacers, what about the big trade they did last night, yesterday?
The dumb trade?
The dumb trade.
How, wait a minute. First of all, let's look at the package here that they didn't even hype on. They could have. First of all, Chris LeVert is the nephew of Eddie LeVert, who's the lead singer of the OJs. Now, I'd capitalize on shit like that, okay? Oh, shit, I got the... Oh, hell yeah. Hey, Eddie LeVert, you know, OJs. Get the OJs over to sing or some shit like that, okay?
Right.
But they didn't do that. Okay, now to make matters even worse, you get a guy that comes that his first game, he scored, what, 18 points?
Yeah.
The first game he played? He has been a consistent player as they have played him his whole career. And then the day that he scores 40 points, even though they lost, you trading?
You're trading.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, all I got to say is this.
I got another tidbit about the National Football League.
Who the guy they got? I don't even know.
They got Tristan Thomas. The dude that got the baby by the Kardashian, if that means anything.
That means he plays good basketball?
No, that means he plays good Kardashian.
Is that a great thing?
That's
right
a game I heard.
Oh.
It's a full-blown sport.
Oh. I mean, does she shoot basketball too? Or?
I don't know what she's shooting, but...
There's
some balls involved.
We're going to leave that alone. Wow. Okay. But anyway.
Right. We're not touching that one.
Yeah. But I don't understand the Pacers, man. I really don't. They got a great coach, obviously. They got him back, and he's got a ring. I just don't understand what they're doing or something.
You might not like what I'm about to say.
Probably won't.
The Colts and the Pacers do not want to catch up with modern times in sports entertainment. They still want to play the old fundamental, don't want to spend the money, make the investment, whatever. They keep thinking that they're going to recreate Hoosiers.
No, but
catch lightning in the bottle. They want to get all these, they don't want to make the investment in getting a franchise player, I think.
But the other thing is that people want to admit this is, first of all, Indianapolis is at a disadvantage, two disadvantages. Number one, we have been hailed as the amateur sports capital of the world, which is very true. Really, I mean, the NCAA headquarters is here. You know, I mean, so, you know. But here's the bigger problem. You're in a small market city in between three large market cities. You're talking about Green Bay, Chicago, Cincinnati. Okay, that's number one. Number two, because of that limited amount of revenue that you can get from a local standpoint. Okay, that's reality. They have the same problem that Oklahoma has. I mean, they rolled the streets in Oklahoma and fixed Fox. Okay, there's nothing to do there. So, first of all,
Oklahoma.
Right. First of all, you got to get players who want to do three things. They know they're going to make money, especially great players. But do they want to play in a cold environment if they don't have to? No. Is it better being out in California, New York? Yeah. You got that kind of money. I mean, so you're fighting that culture as well. Last but not least, it's not that you're talking to owners that don't care. Okay, the Simons rescued the Pacers. In fact, I remember when I talked about life support. You remember when the Pacers had an auction and shit to stay in business?
No kidding. I remember that.
They had an auction.
Really?
On TV. Yeah, to save the Pacers.
They had a slave auction? They had a slave auction off the players?
No. But no, they did. No kidding. You know, like you know, a charitable fundraiser, that's how they kept the Pacers. And then the Simons came in and saved it. So
wow. You
got all that to do.
Is that Marcus Square Arena days?
That was before Marcus Square Arena, as a matter of fact. Marcus Square hadn't been built yet.
Oh, see, that was before my time.
They were coming out of the ABA?
Yeah,
they were coming out of the ABA going into the NBA.
Okay.
That's what was going on. So I mean, you know, so Indianapolis has those problems, man. And some of those are just insurmountable. I mean, but we really think about it. If Peyton Manning was the Peyton Manning of he's a bad example though. Because you said Peyton Manning was the Peyton Manning the day that he was when he started the league, would he play in Indianapolis? Probably, because he's got the kind of worth it.
Do you think the Colts would have made it to the Super Bowl without Coach Dungy?
Oh no, there's no way in this.
They had Peyton, but not Dungy.
That's
You think they would? Do you? I'm saying they bring the Colts head Peyton. There was no Coach Dungy. Matter of fact, Peyton was here before Coach Dungy, right? Didn't Peyton play here?
No, I don't think so. No, I think they came about the same time.
Really?
But go ahead.
The question is, do you think the Colts would have made it to the Super Bowl without Coach Dungy, but had Peyton?
Let me say this, and I'll answer it this way. First of all, let us not forget that he left Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and they went to the Super Bowl.
You heard me? That was they went to Tampa Bay, the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay with Tony Dungy's team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So now Tony Dungy comes to Indianapolis was a disaster, okay, at the time he got here. And he built that team to win a Super Bowl. Now, if you're going to ask me the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady question, let me answer it this way. All I know is this. Tony Dungy, we know the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay was really won with his team. Tony Dungy came to Indianapolis, no team, made him into a team. And on the other hand, he had a quarterback who was just unbelievable in performing. So those two elements together made it happen. Could they have done it without each other? Probably not. I don't believe that. If Tony Dungy wasn't here, I don't think that Peyton and them would have won the Super Bowl. In the same token, I say, if Tony Dungy was here and Peyton Manning was not here, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
I get
So I think that both of them equally, you know.
They put together the championship team. That's what it's about.
Exactly. So, but Tony Dungy hasn't said anything about the controversy in reference to the NFL.
And he's not.
And justifiably so. But we do know that when you think about the person that Tony Dungy is, when you think about what Tony Dungy has done and what he has represented and stood for, then I think you know that he is most unhappy about this situation, period.
Yeah, but this is my thing, and this is how I think. I don't chase after the racism train because, especially when it comes to corporations and making money and capitalism, because when you work in somebody's company, Is a so what, okay? I'm racist, so what?
But see, but...
Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second.
It's a little different.
Yeah, but hold on for a second. Because this, the whole thing is, you work in this environment, you know it's racist, but you're making millions of dollars a year or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So everything's hunky-dory. We could be racist 365 for the 5 years you've been in the NFL or whatever this company is. You've been there for 5 years.
Right.
And them whole 5 years, you knew we were racist, but you was cashing racist checks, right?
Okay.
So then... all of a sudden, either we're not interested in you working for us anymore, right?
Okay.
Your time is up.
Okay.
Now you want to cry racism. Why did you cry racism? It's just like the whole thing with Whoopi Goldberg. She's talking about quitting the views or whatever. Well, you know the game.
Well, she never said she's quitting the views.
She said yesterday that she's considering leaving the show.
Oh, I didn't know.
The whole thing is like this. If you know the culture of the company that you're working for, it's all fine and dandy until they don't want you no more. Now you want to cry racism.
Well, but see, you know, once again, I mean, what you're saying, I can take a grain of salt. And I'll tell you why. Because number one, we're in the culture and the society in which we are in, unfortunately. Okay? And in order to get ahead in this society, then you've got to use tricks is those that are oppressing you have used, or you're never going to get ahead. Do I like it? No, I don't necessarily like it. Either you play the game or you don't. Now, he could have got away with not saying anything. He could have and probably gotten another coaching position along the line.
Right.
I don't know what triggered him to respond the way he responded. I'm not against how he responded. And, you know, I'm not for kicking things down the road if you can avoid it. Now, reality behind it, I'm sure, is that he had a job, you know, he was taking care of his family, whatever, lost the job, and exposed why he lost the job. Okay. I don't have a problem with why didn't he do it then or why didn't he do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, he ain't going to get another job.
Well, I don't know.
Not in the NFL.
I don't know if it's true. You know, I believe it at first, but see, one of the things that the NFL is good at is setting people up to fail. They are. Same thing with Kaepernick, okay?
Kaepernick.
If you would have let him go out and do his thing on the fourth, and vice versa, he would have honored their respect, let's do it neutrally, then they would be in a lot better situation than they are. But But it didn't happen. But it's time to move forward, though. I mean, we can keep doing, why didn't you do something?
Well, that's the thing. When do we move forward? We constantly talking about racism.
Well, that's
always going to be racism. You working in somebody else's company, and they got a culture that's been around for 40, 50, 60 years. You ain't changing that culture.
But here's the bigger issue.
Okay.
Do you spend your energy trying to change the culture, or do you spend your energy bringing it to somebody else's attention and let them spend their energy dealing with the culture? You could continue forward.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying is this: we get caught up in things that we know that are wrong. We know they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We get caught up in that, and it stops us from moving forward. Okay.
Right.
Because we're so busy dwelling on the reasons of why it happened now versus yesterday. Reason why did he do it? I mean, who cares?
So do you think this guy do you think this coach from Miami is moving forward, or is he stuck?
Well, but it's not just the culture of Miami; it's just the culture of the world itself.
The coach. You think he's moving forward, or you think he's stuck?
I think that he's placed himself in a position where the NFL is going to how to put this? He's going to get paid.
Yes, exactly. He's going to get the check. And cash out. That's like any other situation.
Listen, he's going to continue to get a check. Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
And go away.
He probably won't go away. I'm going to tell you what they're going to end up doing.
What?
He's going to be on somebody's broadcast being an analyst. He's going to be on somebody's talk show. Believe you me.
It would not be affiliated with the NFL.
Oh, no. Yeah, it will. Because the NFL, listen, here's what the NFL is very good at.
Okay.
Very good at.
Let's go.
Is they know how to hide their skeletons, and they hide it quite well. And one of the ways they hide them is they pay people off. Now, if you don't look at how much, let's be realistic. How much did Kaepernick walk away with? $12 million?
Right, but Kaepernick does not have no more affiliation with the NFL. He got the money,
you're wrong, because listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot separate the two. It's the NFL that put him in the situation he's in. He will always be connected with the NFL.
Publicly, though. Is that what you're saying? So you won't be seeing him doing no post-game interviews?
Doing commercials?
He ain't had a commercial in a year and a half.
Dude, he's still out there in the media.
Man,
you can't separate the two.
I've not seen Kaepernick in over a year.
Let me tell you something. He's still a commodity. He's still out here selling, dude. Trust me. Don't believe it's not happening, because the NFL is good at that. Listen, what are you saying about the $100,000 payoff in the lose game?
Oh, you talking about the Miami coach?
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, they should tell you that this whole culture is doing the same thing. Rather than deal with a problem, they'd much rather pay. You're talking about pennies compared to the amount of money the NFL is making.
Yeah.
It's all about money.
They
are very good at hiding their ills. Very good. Unlike baseball, I mean, every time somebody gets a bad drug test, it's all over baseball. Basketball, same thing, all over. But the NFL?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something.
Did you know that the NFL was a 501(c) nonprofit?
Didn't surprise me.
Up to 2015. So since the NFL started to now, it was a nonprofit organization.
That should tell you there's profit and nonprofit.
Oh, there's definitely profit and nonprofit.
But the bottom line is this. Now that the situation is here, the question is, do we sit and keep talking about it, or we use that to our advantage? Period.
What's our advantage?
When I say to our advantage...
Let me put some baby powder on your ears.
Let me say this to you, in all honesty. I use... to my advantage, moving up in the American Legion, because a couple of incidents happened that allowed me to do that. Now, one of the incidents that happened is that I'm sitting in a room, and there is like 15 or 16 people, all of them older than me, and I'm the only black in the room. And they were talking about spending $1 million for advertisement of the American Legion.
Okay.
And here's the company brought the program. Here's what he said. He says, we got something that's going to be universal, you know, that's going to attract all the veterans, blah, 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 blah. And it was the Oak Ridge Boys.
Right.
You know what I said in that meeting?
What?
I said, excuse me, but I don't think that's very inclusive. I mean, and then I, and I'm, and yes, I did. I did sort of play the race card.
Okay.
And here's what was told to me. I said, you know, we need to attract more minorities, and this is what we need to do. And here's what this commander, who Vincent became state commander, here's what he said. He said, we started a post office up in Gary. I said, okay. And they stole all the money. I said, well, there's post and such and such that they stole the money too.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of state is that? Because I said that, began to propel me forward in the American Legion. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that part of it was, and then before that, when I became district commander, you know, I made a statement, well, are we ever going to have a black district commander? Something like that. I can't remember what I said. But anyway, next thing I know, oh, Steve's going to run against him for district commander, but it's already been slated, blah, 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 blah. Well, I waited, and the next year I became district commander. So if you ask me, did I use those incidents to propel myself forward? Absolutely. Because there's one thing I was not going to do. I wasn't going to sit there and debate something that we both know has been going on. I'm not going to waste my time doing that. Nor am I going to debate with you of what we need to do to correct that. The best thing you can do is move forward, and you show by doing what you're doing, this is how you correct that, period. So I don't have any shame in that. And the funny part about it is the more I moved up, the more respect I got out of my white brethren because of how I handled myself.
Right. But is that the goal?
Yeah, it is.
Why is that the goal for black men?
Let me finish.
Okay.
Yet doing such alienated a lot of my black brethren because, oh, he thinks he's something. Who does he think he is? Well, here's why all that's important to me. Because number one, as I told you about Jazz in the Park, I stopped Jazz in part because I could. That's how I think, because I can. I don't need to sit here and do anything other than be who I am and do what I do. It was important for me to have this white support, so to speak, to get to where I got, to let other people know that we can do this, but we can't do it by screaming bloody murder and not going forward, period.
Correct.
Whether it's white or black. The same thing with blacks. My attitude is you can say what you want to. You can do what you want to, but you're wasting energy doing something that you shouldn't take the time doing. You should be propelling yourself forward. So that's where I'm at. Okay, wait a minute. How much time we got? I don't want to miss some time. Oh, we still got plenty of time. So that's all I'm saying. We need to get up, develop a culture, and that's why the Jewish people are so successful. They really are. They're successful because, number one, they understand the word community, okay? There's my phone ringing somewhere, and I don't even have it. But anyway, they understand the word community, okay? We don't. They don't have to sit down and have dinner with each other every night. When it comes to taking care of their brand, their community, and their people, that's exactly what they do, okay? And their fear is defending their culture. Why can't we do the same thing?
Well, and that goes back to my whole thing is this, and this part that I believe in moving forward, and that's also the name of Mr. Abernathy's radio show is Moving Forward. That's the whole concept of Yaiser is moving forward. So the whole thing is, what I'm saying is this, as long as you're in somebody else's sandbox, I always use the sandbox analogy, you're taking all this, we forever telling somebody how they run they sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
Until we start, what's that? Until we have our own, that's going to be part of the change. But if you're working for a corporation that's been having a culture of 100 years of a certain way, one, maybe even 10 blurps in that, it's not going to change the culture of 100 years is what I'm saying. So what I'm trying to say, is getting hyped up in this guy doing this lawsuit, he's going to get money, but it's not going to change the NFL's culture. So what I'm saying is it's not going to change their culture. That's just like, like somebody used the analogy one time about Hollywood, and the dude complained about how the Oscars are so white. So the one dude said, you know what, this is my movie. I put in my movie who I want to put in my movie. You're not going to force me to put other people in the movie because you're not invited to
that's
the party.
Not, but that's not a change of culture. That is a change of culture. No, that's human nature. And here's what cracks me up about all this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's all said and done. Personal responsibility goes each way. Responsibility goes when you make mistakes in life.
Mm-hmm.
But personal responsibility also comes with successes in life. Because mm-hmm. we can sit here and debate on how people can be successful all we want. We
mm-hmm.
can. We're going to have different opinion of that. But here's the only opinion that I do know that matters.
Hey,
But that's where I'm at right now. I mean, you know, I regret nothing that I've done in life.
I really don't.
I sometimes regret that I made some decisions that were probably not to my advantage. And I'm gonna say that people don't want to be honest. It's to your advantage.
Yeah.
You ain't out here work. If you're going to waste the time worrying about what is the advantage of everybody else around you, trust me, that's all you'll be talking about. And you'll be talking about their successes rather than your own. That makes no sense.
None.
You got to concentrate on your destiny, okay? Because happiness to me, success to me, I guarantee you, is different from happiness and success to you.
Facts. Okay. Exactly. Can I read a stat for you? Because I think we only got like 6 minutes. What's that say?
I don't know.
6-7 minutes.
I don't know. It says 7 minutes and 1 minute. Okay. Because I got to do my, I got to wrap my catfish.
That's right. Okay. So it says right here, the demographics of the NFL at the start of 2014 season, NFL surveys revealed that the league was 68.7% African American and 28.6% non-Hispanic white, with the remaining 2.7% comprised of Asian/Pacific Islanders, non-white Hispanic, and those referring to other categories. Now, just to ask this question, is that a representation of a company or organization that's racist when you have 68% of the employees are black? Does that make them a racist company?
First of all, let's go back to racism. Okay, we need to stop talking about can black people be racist. They can't. We don't have the numbers, okay? Now, you're talking about the organization.
I'm talking about the organization
NFL,
itself.
That's a very difficult thing to point out, and I'll tell you why. Because part of slavery is a small group of people controlling a larger group of people, period. I don't care how you look at
that's
it.
That's government. Okay? That's everything, yeah.
Now, in this case, it's a racist situation or it's become a race situation. And, you know, that's something that we really need to explore, but we really need to critically think this out because, number one, I mean, once again, I keep saying, well, why did he wait to this time or why did he say it this way? Who cares? What is more important is it's being said, or we wouldn't be having this discussion today. That's how we solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 5 minutes ago, I got to say this. Listen, guys, trust me. Girls, trust me. Stop sending out gift cards to people because they want money. If you're going to really want to send something to anybody and they want to throw this trust thing on, you don't trust me. No, I don't trust you. Why would I do that? I don't know you. But you want to ask me to send money to help you out for your grandma or your boyfriend's twice removed. And, you know, 1 minute you're here, the next minute you live in Ghana. Come on, stop. It's called catfishing. Okay? Gracie, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. What's up, Fanta? You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Hear me out. Stop it. Stop it. It's mail fraud and it's criminal. And for you guys out here and girls sending these cards out, all you doing is giving them what they want and they want your money. If they were really serious about a plight they got, they would tell you where they at, send it Western Union. They don't. That's the name of the game. If you really want the money and you need it, then why is it that you got to send it in a gift card? Don't do it. They're catfishing. We're talking about a $500 billion business. Because they say they're in the military and they're looking good and all that stuff, trust me, if they tell you that they're deployed overseas, then before you send them anything, let them ID themselves. This bullshit about, excuse my language, but this bull crap about because I'm overseas and I can't identify who I am, that's crap. It's a scam. Catfishing. And then they want to send you all these beautiful pictures. That's what kills me. They're going to send you these pictures, but when you ask them to send you a picture of who they are right then and there, they can't send it because it's going to let them know where the location is. That's bull crap, because the fact you send it through your phone in the first place, they're going to know where your location is. Stop. Stop the catfishing. About time to run. Got to go. It's been a blast. We're going to have more fun next week. Get down some serious issues. Stephen B., doing it for the show Controversy. Doing it in the key of E for you and me. That means excellence, bold, black, and beautiful. See you next Monday, okay? Check me out.